What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but
morning. It's so good to see you who have come out this morning to join us at the Boone's Mill Church for our worship service this morning on this third Sunday of the new year. It's chilly this morning, but it's warm in here, and not only warm because of the temperature, but it's warm to look out and see so many of you who have joined together. It gives a warm feeling to be in the house of God and to be with God's people. We are blessed to be together. So I want to welcome you here in the sanctuary. For those that are out in the Sunday school room, we welcome you to our service. And for you that be out in the cars, we welcome you as well. Thank God that we can continue to worship together during this pandemic. You have done so good in your observing the need to wear masks and social distance, and we thank you for that. We think that's part of the reason that we've been able to stay safe and continue to worship together. And so we thank you for doing that. We still see the ravaging effects of the pandemic in our country, with the so many that are getting sick and the hospitals being overwhelmed and the number of deaths rising, and the concerns just seem to be overwhelming. We want to continue to be praying for all those on the front lines. Just pray for them, for their safety, and that as the vaccinations hopefully are being rolled out, we will continue to see things begin to curve and go down and get better. Praying and seeking that that will be the case. But again, for you that have come out to join us this morning, welcome. We pray that our time together will be a blessing. We have been in a new sermon series that we started last week, How to Face Our Future. And so this morning, our message is how to profit from your problems. And I want to ask you a personal question this morning as we begin. Do any of you ever have problems? Yeah, I see some that quickly indicating that. Well, even if you don't have any personal problems right now, which I doubt if that's true. I expect most all of you have some personal problem you're dealing with. Even if you don't have a personal problem this morning, you have some social problems with the pandemic, with the threat of contracting the virus, with the lonely isolation without having hugs and handshakes that we so much need to encourage us. I'm sure that you have the problem of the fear of loved ones becoming sick and even dying from the disease. I'm sure that crosses your mind and is of a concern and can be a problem. The shutdown of businesses and schools and the problems of waiting for months before the vaccine may be available for you. All of these things are social problems that we have this morning. Yes, so I would say we all have problems, both personal and socially. So today, what I want to do, we're going to look at how do you profit from the problems that you're encountering this morning? How do you benefit from that which is going on in your life? Well, James is the most practical book in the New Testament. It is a book on how to, it's a how-to manual for the Christian life. How would you like to get a letter like this one that came in the first chapter of the book of James when it opens? And it says this. This is basically what James is saying. He's saying, hi, this is a letter from me. Do you have problems? And then he goes on to say, well, be happy. Now, would you like a letter from someone that tells you that? A letter that says, if you got problems, be happy about it. I don't think that's what we want to hear. How can you be happy if you are having problems? Well, the key is in what James says after that in the phrase, because you know. In other words, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Your attitude, James is saying, is the difference. Your attitude is determined by your understanding of what God is doing in your life. Rejoicing is not some kind of positive thinking, but it's based on some facts of life that God is saying, this is what's going to happen. So actually, there are four facts of life from the book of James that will help you with your problem that you go through. Now, here are the four facts of life that you need to know. First of all, problems are inevitable. Scripture doesn't say, if you encounter problems, consider it a joy. It doesn't say if, it says whenever. Count on it. You're going to have problems. And if you don't have problems, I'm going to ask you this morning to check your pulse, because it is a fact of life. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Count on it. Problems are not an elective in life. They are a required course. A lot of people think life is unfair because I'm having problems. Now, you got a big, big mistake going on in your life if you think that somehow you're entitled to have no problem. You don't get out of having problems by saying that you don't want to have any problems. Nobody's immune to problems. You see, there's a wonderful book written by a Christian psychologist that's called, his name is Scott Peck, and he wrote a book that said, The Road Less Traveled. And the very first sentence, when you open that book, the first sentence in his book says, life is difficult. And he goes on to say that you're not entitled to a life of no problem. And he says, if you can accept that life is difficult and life has problems, then all of a sudden when you realize that you should expect problems, then problems that don't shock you and they don't disappoint you and they don't make you feel like that life is a problem. In other words, when you accept that their life is full of problems, then your problems are no longer problems. They're expected. Not something that's come on to you to make life miserable. It is inevitable that you will have problems in life. Now, here's the second fact of life from James that you need to know, and that is that problems are unpredictable. He says, whenever you face problems, the word face in the Greek is peripepto, and it literally means to fall into unexpectedly. In other words, it's the same word used in the story of the Good Samaritan when the man was going down to Jericho and he fell among thieves. It was unexpected. And trials are not planned. Things, problems that we have is not something that we set up and expect. We seldom can anticipate the problems we're going to experience in life. We don't plan to have a flat tire or to have a crisis. They just happen. And they happen when we least expect them. Like last week, I got a letter from DMV and they said, your driver's license is suspended. And I said, what? What are you talking about? Oh, well, now I've had this happen before. I have a heart condition, and my heart condition, I have blacked out. Because that had happened back in 2015, they're saying, okay, every year I have to go through an examination, and I have to prove to DMV that I am able to drive safely. And so I went to my doctor. We went through all of the planning. We took the material. We faxed it to DMV. And I thought everything was okay until I got my letter. And they said, we haven't received your information. So I called the doctor's office. They said, yes, we faxed it. They verified that they received it. We don't know what's going on. So they tried and tried, couldn't get it. They said, Jerry, you're going to have to see if you can't find out something. So as I was working on that, I was trying to say, okay, that's a problem, but it's going to be okay. Problems happen. What do I do to solve it? And so as I worked with them, I came to find out they had given me an extension and they were waiting for the information. You see, that's what makes a problem a problem. It comes on you unexpectedly, and if you react to it as if it's the end, then that is even a bigger problem. If you act like that there is a way to solve it, then you can go to it in a much different way. But when those things happen, just like when I got the letter, we often ask, why me? Why did this happen to me? And what I have to remind myself and you is, why not you? Problems is a part of life. So, the second fact is problems are unpredictable. Third fact of life from James that you need to know is that problems are of many kinds. They come in all shapes and sizes. There are a wide variety of them. Have you ever tried to match paint and get the same color that you had? Vonda had this experience recently in our living room. She wanted to change the color of our living room, and so she went and got some paint sample. And she painted one sample on this wall, and one sample on this wall, and one on this wall, and one on this wall. And then all of a sudden I said, well, there's no turning back. We've got to paint it now with all of this mess on the wall. But it was hard to match exactly what it was that she wanted. Now, in the Greek, the word for many kinds is literally multicolored. In other words, there are problems of many shades and varieties. They vary in intensity. They vary in the duration. There's many different forms of our problem. Some are minor, some are inconvenient, some are major crises. Now I know that your problems are probably different from mine and different from each other. We may have similar problems, but all problems seem to be different and multicolored and multivaried. Well, here's the fourth fact of life from James that you need to know, and that is that problems are purposeful. In other words, problems have a purpose. Problems can be a warning light that something's wrong. Pain can produce change when we are experiencing it. Suffering can accomplish something. It has a value in our life. Now, what value? What value and what purpose is it? There's three purposes of problems in your life. The first one is that problems purify my life. James uses the word testing. As it's often used in the Bible, testing of gold and silver. Now, the way you test whether you have pure gold or pure silver is that you heat it up to a very hot temperature and burn off the impurities. You burn off the dross. And after it's burned off, Job even said that. He said, God has tested me through the refining fire, and I have come out as pure gold. And what Job is saying is that God has put me in this problem. He's put me in this fiery furnace, and he's burning off the things that should be burned off. But when I come through this difficult problem, I will be pure, and I will know where I stand before God. You see, the first things trials do is test our faith. They purify us. You don't know what's inside until you face problems. What's inside of you? Is it good? Faithful to God? Or is there something questionable, evil? Something that really doesn't trust God? How would you know? Well, problems help to purify that, to let you know where you stand before God. When you're tested, then you will know. It's like, I like to use the illustration of the sun shining. And take that illustration to a higher level, to the light of God shining. When sun shines on a lump of clay, it gets hard. And if you take a lump of butter, and that same sunlight shines on butter, it melts. Now, is the light causing the problem with the clay or the situation with the butter? No, the light is just the source. And it's whatever's consistency of the clay is what causes it to harden. And whatever is the consistency of the butter is what causes it to melt. And the same thing is true with our faith. If our faith is not where it should be, when the light of God shines on us, it hardens our heart and it hardens us so that we no longer can be formed in the shape that God wants us to be. But if it is moldable, when the light of God shines on our heart and it melts us and allows us to surrender to God, then our faith is showed to be pure. We find out when we're going through problems. God is much more interested in what's on the inside of you than He is on building something outside of you. A lot of times people spend a lot of time on their bodies and on their health and on their homes and on other things. But God's not interested in the things outside. He's interested on the things on the inside of building your faith. And problems can purify your faith. Now here's a second purpose of the problems in your life. Problems fortify our patience. It's the testing of your faith develops perseverance. James is talking about staying power. He's talking about not a passive patience, but stay in power, endurance, the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to hang in there, sort of like the song that I shared with you this morning. It's when you're really under the fire and when you're really having a problem, when you don't feel like you know what else you can do or what you can say, it's when you're able then to turn and say, but I know, God, you can take it away, but even if you don't, I will trust in you. That is staying power. We don't like pressure. And we do everything we can to avoid it. People run from it. They take drugs. They drink alcohol. They do all kinds of things to get away from what's going on. Anything to get away from the pressure. But God uses problems in our lives to teach us how to handle pressure. How to never give up. How does God teach you patience? Is it that God would teach you patience by everything going your way? No. God teaches you patience by requiring you to wear a mask when you don't want to. God teaches you patience by having no indoor restaurant dining when that's really what you want to do. God teaches you patience when there's no school contact sports, and yet you demand it that it's needed for the children no matter what. But you don't do that. It's the waiting periods of life that teaches us patience. We've been living in a convenient society where most anything goes at any time, whenever we want it. And everyone wants it now. And during this pandemic, it has been a tremendous test upon people's patience. We see the goings on in the White House just this past week, and we realize that part of that is people wanting things now and wanting it their way. And if we can't have it now, then we'll take it by force. Endurance and patience today is a rare quality. And it seems like the pandemic has brought that out at a much more enhanced way. Well, here's a third purpose of problems in your life. Problems sanctify my character. They make me like Jesus. They help me to mature and to be a better Christian. They help me to grow. The testing of your faith produces perseverance that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, that's God's long-range goal for His people. His ultimate purpose is that you would become mature, that you would become like Christ. God wants you to grow up, and He wants you to be mature, but in the Christian life, character is the bottom line. I was so appalled at some of the TV display in the Washington Capitol where there were people carrying signs that said, Jesus saves, and said things that were using the name of Jesus on their sign, and they were taking those signs and clubbing people to death with them. And what seemed so odd to me was I could not believe what I was seeing, that people actually believed that they somehow was behaving in a Christian manner. And in no way could I see that that was anything near the Jesus that I understand from Scripture. And I also understand that as I was reading through the Scripture, that Jesus said, they were asking Jesus, when will be signs that the end will be coming in the world that we know it? And Jesus said, well, you will see people who will believe lies, and they will call the truth lies, and they will call lies the truth. And I used to, when I would read that, I'd say, well, you know, I'll never see that in my day and time, but I'm seeing it right now. And I'm thinking, I wondered how that would ever be. And they say fathers would be against children and children against fathers and neighbor against neighbor. And all of a sudden I say, and I'm seeing it happening now. And that you will see pestilence and you will see all kinds of things that will happen and famine, and you will hear of earthquakes and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. And all of a sudden it just becomes looming. I always wondered how would that happen. And it says that even the elect, there would come a time when the elect would be deceived and that they believe what they're doing is in the name of God. And when I saw those signs, and I saw the riots, and I saw the destruction, I was saying, so that's what it meant. People would be doing things and believe they're doing the right things, but they're not. And it was horrifying for me to think that. But Jesus also said, well, when you see these things and you hear these things, it's not the end. It's only the signs of the things to come. And so as I thought about that and thought about how can I, as a Christian, have in the Christian life, since the being a Christian is the bottom line. So many Christians I talk with have absolutely no idea of God's agenda in their life. Why is God saving you and calling you to be a part of His family? Why is He calling you? What is He wanting you to do and to be as a follower of Christ? A lot of people don't know. God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus. God is much more interested in building one's character than He is in making you comfortable. If God is going to make me like Jesus, He's going to make me go through the things that Jesus went through. And Jesus went through some horrible things. He suffered greatly. There were times that Jesus was lonely. There were times when Jesus was worn out and fatigued and didn't know where His next day would be, where He would lay His head down. There were times when Jesus was discouraged. The Bible says that we have to realize that what God wants for us more than anything is that we grow up to be like Jesus. Now, the Bible says there are two ways that God makes us like Jesus. The first way is through the Word of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." One way that God makes us like Jesus is when we have the Word in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. Then we can be like Jesus. And then in James 22 and 25, which we didn't read, but it's in this first chapter, it said, "The Word makes me like," or makes us like Jesus. In other words, the Word builds our character. It matures us. Reading the Bible, the Word of God, letting it guide us is being like Jesus. And that's why I'm encouraging you to read the Bible every day. It's because when you're reading and when you are assimilating that Word into your heart and life, you are becoming more like Jesus. And even though having the Word is a way that God uses to make us like Jesus, God has another way, and this second way is even more demanding, and it is through the circumstances of life. Here's where James hits it right on the head. So many Christians I meet, they will often say, "Everything was going great when I first became a Christian, when I first became a believer. And then all of these problems began to come into my life." And I began to ask, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I'm bad. Maybe I'm not something that God wants. Maybe I'm not even a Christian. Maybe I'm not really saved, they feel. They think, they ask. You have to understand this. Every one of you this morning, you are exactly where God wants you. You're in a course, in a test for your character. God is wanting to make you like Jesus. And part of the problems you're having and the doubts you're having and the questions you're having is part of that test. In Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good." Now, it doesn't say not all things are good, but they all work together for good if we love God and are called according to His purposes. You see, the secret in Romans 8:28 is found in Romans 8:29, which says, "For whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to become conformed to the image of the Son of God." Well, why do all things work together for good? In order to make us like Christ. If God wants to teach you love, He puts you around unlovely people. Did you hear that? If God wants to teach you love, He puts you around unlovely people to see how you're going to grow in that experience. That's probably not the test you want to have. It's not the one I would want to have. If He wants to teach you joy, He puts you in times of tragedy and sadness so you will learn joy in that situation. So you will come to peace. And to have peace. God puts you around chaos. That's where you learn peace. It's easy to be peaceful laying on the beach in Cancun. Any of us can do that. But peace comes through times of waiting patiently. Ephesians says we are God's workmanship. God is working on us. God is testing us. God is putting us through trials. God is giving us problems so that we will grow and become His workmanship. God wants to make mature people out of us. And he wants us to be kind and loving and caring and praying and reading his word and faithful. That's what God wants us to be. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. Kind and loving, caring, sharing, faithful. That's what God wants us to be like Jesus. Now, these were the four facts you needed to know. That problems are inevitable, problems are unpredictable, problems are of many kinds, and problems are purposeful. And there are three things I want to close with today that you need to do. Those were things you need to know. These are things you need to do. Here's how to handle your problem. First of all, you'll need to rejoice. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trial. Now that was in verse 2. And don't misunderstand what James is saying. He's not saying fake it, put on a plastic smile, pretend that everything is okay. He's not saying that. God never asked you to deny reality. He doesn't mean some kind of psychological pump up based on nothing. We don't rejoice for our problems. We rejoice in the problem. We don't thank God for the situation that we're going through. One of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." Now, if you want to know God's will for your life, it's simple. In everything give thanks. Now, it does not say for everything give thanks, for everything, but it says when you're going through or in everything. Why should I thank God for giving me this pandemic? Or why should I thank God for that accident? Or why should I thank God that my permit was denied and suspended? Or why should I thank God for the violence that I see in the world? Or why should I thank him that I get sick? No, it doesn't say thank him for those things that happen. It says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because it means we can thank God because we know that he can take away the bad things in our lives and turn it around and bring good out of it. That song that I shared with you as we opened, even though God could take it all away, even if he doesn't, I will trust him. That is being thankful in a situation, not thankful for the situation. It's possible. It doesn't matter where your problem may be coming from. It could be. It's possible that you may have caused your problems yourself, your behavior, something that you've done, something that you repeatedly done that caused your problem. Could be. It could also be Satan's lies may have caused them, that you've believed his lies and done that which you shouldn't have, perhaps. They may be that your problems have come from society, that it has brought them on you. But the source of your problems doesn't really matter where they came from. God can use them all for your growth and for his glory. What makes a difference? It's your attitude. That's what I opened up with this morning. Although I cannot control the circumstances that happen to me in life, I can control how I will respond to those things that happen to me. I don't know if you've read any from Viktor Frankl, the Jewish psychologist who spent time in a Nazi concentration camp in Germany. And he said this. He said, "They stripped me naked. They took everything. My wedding ring, my watch, and I stood there naked, and all of a sudden I realized at that moment that although they could take everything away from me, my wife, my family, my possessions, but they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond. And so Viktor Frankl, in his book about humanity, being human, he wrote that he chose something they couldn't take away from him, and that was that his God was greater than all things that he was going through. You can choose to rejoice in any situation. The Bible says choose to rejoice. Now, the second thing you need to do to handle your problem is to request, and that is to pray. Of all times to pray when things are going on in your life is to pray when problems come into your life. What do you pray about? In verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You see, you ought to pray for wisdom when you're in the middle of problems. Maybe not necessarily just to take the problem away, but to pray for wisdom. Why should I pray for wisdom? Because you don't want to waste the opportunity of what God is trying to teach you in this test, in this trial, so that you can grow. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. And God's point of view is not man's point of view. God's ways are not man's ways. And so when we try to solve our problems our ways, we often get in a lot of trouble. But if we will solve them in God's way, we will go through that and grow and be like Jesus. Pray for wisdom to understand the problem and see what your part in it can be. Request. Pray. And here's the last thing that you need to do to handle your problem. Relax. Trust God to know what's best for your life. Cooperate with His purpose so that you don't short-circuit the process. That's what's called faith. When he asked, he must believe and not doubt. So what I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters, let go. Relax. And let God work. Well, these are the four facts that you need to know. That problems are inevitable, unpredictable, of many kinds, and purposeful. And the three things that you need to do is to rejoice, request, and relax. Now, my heart breaks when I think about the heartache and pain many people in our church here at Boone's Mill and in our community, what they're feeling during this pandemic. It's not easy to have a joyful heart in the middle of problems. And the Bible says the devil wants to use your problem to defeat you, to put you down, to destroy you, to make you something other than what Jesus would want you to be. But God wants to use those problems to develop you. So I want to leave you this morning with that question. Which will it be? Some of you are going through some tough times right now. It's very hard. And God knows. And God cares. He cares about what you're going through very much. God sees everything you're going through. And God has the power to do something about those problems. He could change it in a snap. Why doesn't he? Because there's a greater purpose. And so, even if I know God can change it, I will trust in him. God wants you to profit from these problems that you're going through right now. And the greater purpose is what he wants to do in you. God is more interested in building your character and your faith than in making life comfortable for you. Once you've learned this, and once you've surrendered to Him, then God may be free to remove those problems and those situations from your life. But nothing comes into your life without the Heavenly Father's permission. Nothing you're going through is not something that God doesn't know that you're experiencing. So I want to invite you this morning, I want to invite you to come to Jesus and cast all your cares upon Him. And if you do, it will be well with your soul. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have many needs this morning. There are those here, Lord, that have had a very discouraging week. And they are crying out, "Where are you, Lord? Don't you care?" And yet, Lord, we know you do care. And because you care, you're allowing these situations in our lives not to break us, but to make us. You're not doing this to destroy us, but to develop us. Lord, help us to learn how to profit from our problems, how to be positive under pressure, and work in our lives for our growth and for your glory. And Lord, if there is someone here today who may never have invited Jesus Christ into their life, I'm asking that person to pray, "Dear Jesus Christ, I want you to come into my life, Lord. Please come in. Make me the person you want me to be. I want to live my life for you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. And I come to you now." And, oh, Lord, there are others who are here this morning that know the Lord as their Savior, but maybe you're going through a tough time right now. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you the courage and the choice to rejoice. Would you please say, "Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is clear and true. It is relevant to what I'm going through. It applies to my life. Lord, I come to you. And my heart sings. And Jesus, it is well with my soul." Brothers and sisters, it will be well if you come to Jesus now and walk with the Lord each day. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
What will I sing when I'm held to the flame like I am right?